The title of this thought today, it's called More Than Pennies, and Matthew 10 is where we're going to be. I just want to share with you and encourage you with a few words as we look through this text today. Ma'am? Oh, is that right? Yeah. You better hang on to that. There's a chance they may not make any more, so... So more than pennies. Let's talk about the penny here just for a little bit, and then we'll work our way through this thought today. So here's just some fun facts. They say the average penny lasts about 25 years. And so maybe if you have some in a jar, maybe you've had them for longer than that or something like that. They say pennies were first coined in the United States. In 1793, they made 11,178 pennies back then. I didn't know this, but on the penny, Lincoln faces the opposite way than every other coin. So you'll check that out later, probably. But on all the other coins, they're all facing the other direction. Lincoln is facing to the right. There are 1,040 pennies made every second, 30 million a day, 13 billion a year. That's a lot of money. Right? Even if it's just a penny, I would take 13 billion pennies. I think you'd probably walk out of here with bags and wheelbarrow fulls too, if you could. Out of all the money in the year, all the coins, rather, that's made in the year, two-thirds of the money that's made, pennies produced, would be the penny. You know how much it costs to make a penny? Almost, yeah. 1.8 cents. Isn't that crazy? So, I think the number was like $105 million over is what it cost to make the pennies last year. And supposedly they make that up because people buy them, store them, they'll spend a lot of money for pennies, and so it's not supposedly a big loss, but it sounds like it. By the way, a 5-cent nickel costs about 9.4 cents to make. Is that right? So those are some facts just about pennies. How many of you could do things with a penny? Anybody? Like, what would a penny get you? Anybody? Okay. So a penny candy counter, okay? So you could get candy. What was the candy you'd get? Bubble gum, licorice, a red hot penny. All right. You guys remember the penny store? I don't remember, but I've watched these guys, American Pickers. I don't know if you've ever seen that show or not, but they get like all this stuff that people have stored up in their barns and attics and sheds. And some of it's these little penny kind of games. You could play a game for a penny. One of them is like you squeeze the hand and it's supposed to measure how strong you are. You put the penny in. A lot of people at carnivals and fairs used to pay a penny, what I'm told. And you could play a game and you could win a prize, something like that. So pennies used to be, at least you could do something with it, right? I mean, if you see a penny on the ground right now, do you pick it up or do you walk past it? Pick it up. So most of you pick it up, right? A few of you will walk right past it. Okay. So it just doesn't have maybe the worth that we thought it once did. Now, there's different generations here, and so I understand a penny is a penny. And you don't leave money laying around, and you don't waste money, so you would pick that up. I understand that also. So here's some other things you could do with pennies. It's said that 5 pennies could buy a ticket to a full-length Saturday matinee movie. 5 pennies. And sometimes it was 2 matinees with a commercial and a cartoon also. I don't know if any of you have experienced that. They say 5 pennies, if you just put 5 of those together, so if you guys would group up, you could buy a candy bar. You could buy ice cream. You could buy these little grab bags of candy. You could buy baseball cards that had the piece of gum in it. You could buy apples. You could buy a soda. That's crazy. Pennies used to have maybe a little bit more worth, but nonetheless, they've not been extremely valuable. Now, a penny can reveal a lot of things, and we'll see a few of those here today in Matthew chapter 10. So here's what I hope. Obviously, putting that in your hand is not the start of your retirement, and if it is, we've got a long way to go, all right? I might put them in my hand. Maybe that'll help me on my journey. But the point of that is that maybe every time now as we think about a penny, it will remind us of how God views a penny and how he views us in light of that money. So when you see that money, you'll be able to say these things about how God views you. And so initially, we're going to call it more than pennies, all right? Matthew 10 here, just a few verses to read, 26 to 31. Jesus has given his guys this mission. I'm going to send you out, okay? I'm going to send you out, and you are to do some pretty miraculous things here. I'm going to empower you, but I want to remind you of some things as well as you go. And so here's some of what he says to them. Matthew 10, verses 26 to 31. He says, therefore don't fear them. Don't fear people who have the ability to harm you or kill you. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. You're of more value than many sparrows. Okay, and so just three thoughts here as we look at more than pennies. And you can track with me if you want on your bulletin. You don't have to at all, but you can write these down as you like. And so the first is this. It's a reminder. The penny's going to remind us that God oversees every moment of our life. There's never a place where you can put yourself in where God is going to be absent. So that penny is going to serve us here as a reminder. Have you ever asked the question, why is this happening? I think Miss Debbie just asked it here a few minutes ago. So we don't understand what's going on, why is this happening? We asked that this morning in our morning Bible studies. You know, for us at our house here recently, in the past few weeks, we've had seven things break. We kind of go through seasons of this for some reason. And you probably do the same thing. It's like, when's it going to stop breaking? And so you start asking the question, okay, what's going on here? Like, why are all these things deciding that it's time to break at the same time? Maybe you've asked it when somebody's lost a job. Or maybe when you found out that somebody had a disease or had something that was incurable. Maybe something tragic happened and you're just wondering, what's going on here? Like, how does this happen? I don't understand what's going on. You know, it's moments like that where I really begin to feel like I'm alone. Like I have to try to figure this out on my own. Like if there was God, then he wouldn't let this happen. And we start letting our mind drift to ways that aren't true because our circumstances are making us a little bit fearful. And so sometimes we feel like we're overwhelmed. And so Jesus talked to his disciples about that. He's going to say, guys, I'm going to put you in some situations that are literally going to be harmful for you. And you're going to walk right into it. But know that I'm walking with you. And I haven't taught you everything you need to know, but don't panic. They're going to ask you questions, and I'm going to fill you with my spirit to give you the right answers in the moment so you know what to say. So don't worry. I am in this thing with you. And so if he could have, he would have said, hey, remember the penny. All right? Just hang on to this penny or take this copper coin with you as you travel. So let's go back to verse 29, and let's hear him say it again. They needed to be reminded, and I think we do as well. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of your Father's care. Now, if that's where that verse ended, we would probably say what? Sparrow doesn't hit the ground without your Father caring about it. We'd probably say, okay. What about if I'm in the midst of something and he's talking about taking care of birds? I'm in the middle, I've lost a job, or seven things broke, or this is happening, or I've been betrayed by a friend, or people are saying things about me that aren't true, or my body's just given up on me, and you're talking to me about birds hitting the ground. We would say, who cares? Who cares about birds? You'd say, Jesus, I'm not a sparrow. And you know what he would say? You're right. That's exactly the point. Verse 31, he says to him, so don't be afraid, you're worth what? More than many sparrows. So it's not about birds. So God's a bird watcher, but not because he just loves his creation, but to serve us as reminders. I'm telling you, I watch over them so I can tell you that I'm watching over you as well. You're worth more than many sparrows, and those sparrows, you could buy two sparrows for a penny. Okay? So we've talked about some stuff here we could buy for a penny. What could you buy for a half penny? Nothing. All right? So here's these two half penny birds that seemingly are worth nothing, and Jesus is saying, I care. I care. Bird experts say there are several billion sparrows currently flying around the globe. Does that just change your life? Anybody walk out of here, it's like, oh, that's good, Lord. That's good right there. 7 billion birds. Again, we would say, who cares? And the point is, God does. Right? I have a hard time tracking with 4 billions, and you care about all these things that are worth nothing? You're telling me that you have great care, great watch over me. And so he says this, there's nothing that happens to those birds that I don't see. Nothing. So when that bird hits the grill of your car, God knew it. For whatever reason, he allowed it. That bird falls from a nest, wasn't ready to fly, and doesn't make it. God saw that happen. He knew it, and he's allowed it for whatever reason. So there's never a millisecond, never a moment where we are out from under the watch care of God. So therefore, when you look at that penny, let it remind you that God is watching me. All right? It's not, hey, it's 1 cent. It's not, hey, Lincoln's facing the wrong way. It's, hey, God's watching me. He cares about those half-cent birds. He watched over them. This little thing right here is a reminder. He's watching over me. That's the song, right? His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches over me. So maybe you've got opportunity to fear right now. The point is, just remember the penny. You're worth more than that. All right, secondly here, let's talk about the penny here. Secondly, it's going to declare that we have worth in the eyes of God. So as we started off with the penny's worth how much? It's not a trick question. That's what it costs to make it, right? It's worth 1 cent, but it's really not even worth that 1 cent when you think about what it costs to make it, all right? 1.8 cents. So it sounds like it's a losing venture, doesn't it? I mean, how does that work in your house? I've got $10 going in, I've got $20 going out. Does that sound like a good idea? No. So I make this much, I have $1,000 for my month, and I'm going to spend $2,000. You do that for very long, and you're in a lot of trouble. Right? That sounds like a losing, like, why would you keep doing that? And you may think that about the penny. I'm not telling you that you and I are losing ventures this morning. Okay? That's not the point here. There's something different that we're trying to get at. Let's go back to verse 31. So here again, he's going to say, don't be afraid, you're worth more than many sparrows. All right, so how much is one sparrow worth? A half penny. Okay, so he's saying you're worth more than many sparrows, so you're worth many pennies. Is that what he's saying? Is it that you're worth maybe 7 to 10 cents? Depends on who we ask, right? No, that's not the point here. It's not about the bird, nor is it about the penny. And so he's teaching us, and he's teaching his disciples as well, how God views worth. So it's not about the penny itself, it's about, not about the sparrow itself, it's about how God views things that he says has value. And so how he views it is this way. He's not disconnected from it, he is watching over it. And he's watching over it to the point that nothing happens to that bird that he doesn't either bring or allow. And so if God takes care of 7 billion birds that don't amount to anything that way, what he's saying is, the same thing is true for your life. There's nothing that happens to your life that I don't not only see, I'm watching, but that I either don't bring or allow. So he's saying, I'm protecting you. I'm caring for you. So there's nothing that can happen to you where I go, man, I didn't see that coming. You know, why didn't I know that something bad was going to happen to that person? He is totally aware, totally protective, totally watching over those who hear belong to him. So there's nothing that happens to that sparrow, and there's nothing that happens to you and I that God doesn't either bring or allow, and all that's under his protection. And so he's close. He's very close to us. And so it's not, hey, pull that penny out, you're worth 1 cent. It's, hey, pull that penny out and remind yourself that I'm protected. I'm watched over. There's nothing that's going to happen to me today that God doesn't know about and that God's not either going to bring or allow. And so I can rest in that. I can have confidence in that. I find that I have worth in that. Not a penny's worth. I'm worth watching and protecting by God. How would you define your worth from God? We tend to put price tags on things, right? You hang a tag on it. And so I saw here yesterday a lot of yard sales going on. Bad day for a yard sale, right? Cold, windy. But if you stop somewhere, you'd see there's a little tag or sticker on it, and that's how much it's worth to that person who's selling it. So if God hung a price tag on us, what are you worth? Are you worth more than many pennies? All right, so we're at this point of being priceless. It's like Jesus said, here's the price that I hung on it. I hung my body on it. And so don't ever forget that you have immense, immeasurable worth in the eyes of God. Jesus hung on a cross, shed blood to portray, to show us, I love you. You have great worth. It's not more than many sparrows, which would be more than many pennies. It's that I'm watching you, I'm protecting you. You're mine, and there's nothing about you that I don't care about or that I'm not interested in. Now, is there any amount of pennies that could repay the price that he paid? If we took all the pennies in the world and took them to God, would that satisfy what Jesus did for us? No. But don't miss this either. There are not any amount of pennies either that could convey the amount of worth that you have to God. We could take all the pennies on the planet and say, God, am I worth this much? And God would say, oh, you're worth a whole lot more than that. There's not an amount of money that could portray or demonstrate, display how much worth we actually have in the eyes of God. So when you look at that penny, remind, hey, God is with me. He's watching me. But remind yourself as well, he's protecting me. He says, I'm of great worth. Not only because I'm worth more than sparrows, but because of what he's given me through his son. He's paid a price that we can never repay. Thankfully, we don't have to. He's just displayed how much we're worth. All right, so that's two. Three. I told you I would be brief this morning. The penny, three. The penny's going to challenge us here, and it's going to challenge us to trust God and what he's asking us to do. You know, it's easy to trust somebody when they're asking you to do something you're comfortable with. It gets hard to trust somebody when they're sending you or asking you to do something you feel like you have no ability to do. And personally, that's where I want to live my life. I'm thankful for the gifts and qualities and experiences that God has given me, but I don't want to be in a place where I can kind of throw God out the window and go, hey, I got it today, God. I've got this one covered. I'm strong enough. I'm smart enough. I'm able enough. Now, I want to live in a place, I want to be doing things that God's asking of me that I have no ability to accomplish. Where if God doesn't come through, I'm hopeless. And it's either going to be all him or it's going to be all wreck on my part. And so here he's going to challenge us to trust what we're being asked to do. And so here's what Jesus is going to describe for his disciples. This is their mission. All right? This is what he's sending them out to do. So I want you to go out, guys, and you're going to proclaim that the kingdom of heaven is near. You're going to tell people to repent. Don't go to the Gentiles. Don't go to the Samaritans. Go to the unbelieving Jewish people. So how many people are we talking about as far as who Jesus is talking to at this point? This is disciples, so there's how many here? So we've got 12 and we've got Jesus. So it's just kind of like this huddle right here. Right? You know what you do after you finish saying what you're going to do in the huddle? You break, right? And then you go do what you said you're going to do. And so at this point, they're kind of huddled up, and he's saying, all right, guys, here's the plan, here's the mission. You've walked with me, you've listened to my teaching, you've seen and observed some of the miracles that I perform, you've seen the power. Now here's the deal. You've got the power. I'm giving you the authority that I have. And so here's the power they have. You're going to be able to heal diseases. You're going to be able to cure leprosy. You're going to be able to drive out demons, and you're going to be able to raise the dead. How would you feel as a disciple? Yeah, we'd be anxious. Right. Like, I'll believe it when I see it kind of thing. This is the authority that Jesus placed on these 12 guys before they broke and went out. And so this is the good part, all right? And I'd be terrified as well. But having observed that, watching Jesus do it, I'm sure there'd be, okay, I'll try this out. You know, if he says I can do it, and for me, I probably would have abused it. Maybe you wouldn't have, but somebody looks cross at me and I would have, you know, put your face on the back of your head. You know, just abuse my power. Yeah, I've got the power, so I can do what I want to do. If I can raise the dead, I probably shouldn't go there, right? I can probably make you become dead. So he's given him this power. I mean, that would be amazing. But then he's going to tell him some things. He says, guys, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. How does that tend to fare for the sheep? Not good. Not good. Verse 16. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves, therefore be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. And he's going to go on to outline some things that they need to expect as sheep in a wolf world. Verse 22, and this isn't on the wall, but you may write these down if you want to just look them up later. Here's some things to expect, six of them. Expect to be hated. That's verse 22. Expect to be apprehended. That's verses 17 and 18. Arrested, maybe how we'd say it today. Expect to be put to death in verse 21. Expect to be called the worst of the worst. Now, Jesus said they've called the owner of the home Beelzebub. And so if that's what they call the owner, they won't hold back to call the children the same thing. So if they're going to dishonor you, disrespect you, you better believe, or me, you better believe it's coming to you as well. And that's verse 25. And then he's going to say this, okay, and by the way, as you go, here's a few more things. All right, so you're going to be hated, you're going to be apprehended, you're going to be potentially put to death, you're going to be dishonored, you're going to be treated, called horrible names. You've got power. Now, here's the last kind of information before we're going to break huddle. Verses 9 and 10. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. What's that mean? No money. No bag for the journey, verse 10. No extra shirt, no sandals, no staff, for the worker is worth his keep. All right, so let's retrace our steps. Publicly declare the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus said, what I whisper in your ear, you shout it from the rooftops. Publicly declare the kingdom of God is at hand. You're empowered with authority. Expect terrible things. And go broke. Go without any clothes. Go without any food. Without any way of getting those things on your own. Go homeless. Break. Would you flee that huddle? I think I'd be the little kid, and I'd never raise my hand, but I think I'd raise my hand there and say, wait a minute, Jesus, I've got a few questions. I like how you started, how this thing all ended. I just don't understand how this is supposed to work. I mean, would you go if that's what was asked of you? If we trusted Jesus, we would break huddle with a smile on our face, and we would book it for the next city. I've been sent on a mission. And I've got all this power and doubt. I don't know what to do with it. And yeah, there's bad stuff coming, but I'm not living for today. I understand there's bigger things down the road. So they can mistreat me. Remember, Jesus said, don't fear those who can kill the body. Everybody dies. Fear the one who can kill both body and soul in hell. Okay. Now that makes a little more sense. Gives me a little bit more confidence then as I head out with my no money, with my no change of clothes, with my no place to stay, with my no food to eat. And just walk in somewhere, I have a little bit more confidence. See, these disciples broke huddle and they went. See, you and I have in our hands right now more than what those disciples had. That penny gives you a hand up. They had nothing. And they went out and fully trusted what Jesus was asking them to do, knowing he'd be faithful. So when you look at that little penny here, let that serve you as a reminder that, yes, I've been challenged to live on mission for God. But I can trust him even though I don't feel like I have what I need to accomplish the mission. I can trust him if I have to go out and do something that's uncomfortable for me. I can trust him if I just feel like this is going to end terribly. You know, we say, I can. The real thing is, will I? There's a big difference there. We talked about that a few weeks ago. It's It's one thing to say, I know God's trustworthy. It's something totally different for me to live my life in that trust. And here we witness in these disciples who are worth more than many pennies, worth more than many sparrows, go out with zero pennies and accomplish the mission of God. And so what is it that God's asking of us? He's asked us to go and make disciples. We say, man, that's hard today. You think it wasn't hard in their day? I mean, this sounds kind of similar. Expect to be hated. Okay. Expect to be marginalized where your view of things doesn't match current culture. Okay. I mean, that's where we're living. I mean, when you got to tell me what potty to potty in, we're in a really bad place. And that's serious. I mean, we got people who are broken and they need help. And we've been broken, and we've found help in Jesus. And so expect to be hated. Expect to be marginalized. Expect to be mocked. I mean, if they mistreated Jesus, they're going to do the same thing to us. So let's not be shocked when it happens, but let's don't let those things hinder us either in accomplishing the mission. We're to share the same message, only it's not just with the Jewish community, it's with everybody on the face of the planet. You're a sinner just as I am. God gave His Son who's a Savior for all people. And if you'll receive Him, repenting of your sins, He'll save you. Do you believe this? And that person believes this, man, they can receive forgiveness right there. They can be made new right there. You know, sometimes I think we just get caught up in how it used to be. And what used to once work, and that doesn't work anymore. And since that doesn't work anymore, we don't know what to do, and so we don't do anything. Different times we're living in, I'm sure. But it's the same God, the same mission. We've got the same power, the same spirit that was in them is in us. We may not have the same power to raise the dead or cast out demons or heal diseases, but there's still that same power available through the same Spirit of God. And so it's not, is there power? It's, will we trust in the power? You know, on your penny there is a little phrase, and what is it? In God we trust. And so may that little penny just serve you again as a reminder that whatever He's asking me to do, I can do that. In His power, I can do that. He's asking me to share my faith, I can do that. Right, He's leading me through this next opportunity. He's opened this door for me. I'm not sure if I can walk that way, but if He's leading that, I can do that. I don't have the money to feel like I can do that. I don't have the ability. It seems like everything's against me, just like the disciples, but I can. I can do that. I can trust in my God. So I don't know where that penny will end up that's in your hand. Maybe it ends up in a jar. Maybe it ends up in your little tray in your car. Maybe it falls out of the hole in your pocket and rolls around and somebody else picks it up. Who knows? The goal is not hang on to that penny. The goal is to let these pennies always remind us of some things. God's watching us. And there's never a moment where He's not watching us. If He's watching 7 billion birds that don't matter and He says He cares for us more, He's watching over us. Let that little penny remind you you have great worth. You're not 1 cent worth, right? But you're worth protecting. You're worth looking after. You're worth gifting and equipping. You're worth loving. And He displayed that through the cross. But He told us that through a penny. More than a penny. And then just let it remind you that you can trust God in whatever He's asking you to do. And so as we break our huddle here this morning, what does that look like for you this week? What's a practical next step you can take today? How many of you have people in your life that don't know the Lord? And I'm not telling you the practical step. I'm saying this is one. We can walk out of here and say, God, with Your help, I'm going to talk to somebody this week. You open that door. You know, help me be compassionate, but help me talk with that person. Who in our life needs to be served? Who needs to be loved? Who in our church family needs to be upheld or supported? Right? It's one thing to know we can trust. It's something else to live out under that trust. And so I'm just asking you to do that. All right? You can ask me to do the same thing. So I want to ask you here as we close, just to bow your heads, and we're going to pray together.